Nearby Business on 90.3 Near FM with Declan Ralph and Dave Daly.
Hi there and welcome to the programme. I'm Declan Ralph.
And I'm Dave Daly.
In a moment, myself and Dave will be discussing some recent business headlines from the local and national papers. And then in the business of this week, I'll be talking with Andy Petterbridge. He's a corporate insurance broker and we'll be chatting about surety and bonding.
This week, Brian Green will be here again to tell me of the progress he's making with his own business venture, Radio.ie, that he formally launched on last week's programme.
After that, David Bell from the HR department will be here and for his regular look at HR issues. This week, a really interesting look at the four HR lessons that are contained within the Disney movie Jungle Book.
Interesting. Finally then, Peter Kavanagh from Active Retirement Ireland will be along to chat about an event that celebrates all that is good about ageing in Ireland.
Now, if you'd like to get involved in the discussion on any of those topics or comment in any way, you can contact the show by text while we're on the air to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. Or you can contact us anytime on Twitter at @nearby_business, #localbiz.
Nearby Business on 90.3 Near FM with Declan Ralph and Dave Daly.
So, Dave, let's have a look at what's happening in local and national papers at the moment. And Mark Little, I suppose you could nearly describe him as a serial entrepreneur at this stage.
Yeah, and a local one too. I think he hails from Malahide originally. Mark Little, XRT in Storyful, and Anya Kerr are to raise $1.5 million. For a new digital venture, their latest in the next seed round of their new business, Neva Labs, that's spelled N-E-V-A. The pair hope to raise $750,000 in Ireland in the next 6 weeks, and then match the same amount internationally. It will be in excess of $1 million value seed fund that will bring us to the market, he said, and help us start making money. Hostel World founder, a guy called Ray Nolan, who backed Little in his previous company Storyful, which was a great success. Of course, Mark was originally in RTE and he was in the States, and then the story for business was a great success story. And this guy, Ray Nolan, will advise and invest in Neva Labs, which aims to change the news reading experience by giving people a digital tool that allows them to control what news they see and when they see it. And Neva Labs will get the user to control every aspect of the news feed, including filters, algorithms and data protection. Neva Labs will not sell advertising, but instead will make its money from subscriptions, and they will be looking for a monthly fee of $4.99. The newsfeed will be relevant to users, but it'll also introduce them to new sources and ideas. So it'll be looking at what you're looking at, and it'll give you things that you that
you're interested
to you. So it's filtering down, sort of what
and
you're
leaving
like.
The control with the user.
Yeah, and you know, normally you go into your phone now and you look at Twitter and these kind of things. So you have a dedicated newsfeed. Maybe you're really interested in kind of investment business or whatever. It'll probably give you all of that kind of thing and it'll filter down to you. And Neva Labs means daybreak in Farsi, and Little said he's been obsessed with the name ever since he spent time in Iran in 2003. However, he said once the company has built the product fully, it's likely to rebrand under a new name. And we were just messing around with this before we come on, and the anagram of Neva is Evan. So maybe
Evan could bring you the news every morning.
That's it.
Yeah.
Evan. You know, a little bit like the one on, what's the name? Alexa.
Alexa.
Tell me what's happening, Alexa.
And all those sort of gizmos. Now, there's a local online bicycle seller is bringing bikes to customers.
Yeah, this is in St. Anne's Park. Cycling enthusiasts Courtney Doherty and Sharon Wild are hoping to corner the market for bike sales in Ireland with an innovative new business combining online sales with a community focus. Doherty and Wild run cruisefix.ie, selling a wide range of bikes and cycling accessories and clothing online, while also working with employers to implement the Cycle to Work scheme for staff and running community bicycle maintenance projects across the country. They said they're focused on Cycle to Work scheme during the week and helping customers through the process. We started to see potential for a company bringing new bicycles directly to the customer. So they decided that they'd go out. They're actually doing it online, and they'll actually go out to see as well. Customers can contact us through Zendesk instant web chat or by email or telephone. It's important to understand that their expectations are depending on what they want to do, whether they want to cycle for leisure, competitively, or commute to work. And we can meet them at a time that suits them and bring them a range of bicycle accessories for them to test out. And they said they offer a free on-site cycle to work scheme displays to companies, and we educate employees on bicycle maintenance and allow them to test bicycles. We offer bicycle maintenance and education courses to schools, youth groups and adult education facilities around the country. And remember that name, cruisefix.ie.
The business of on Nearby Business on 90.3 Near FM.
I'm joined now by Andy Petterbridge. Andy is from a company called Willis Towers Watson. He's a corporate insurance broker. He's head of surety and bonding. Good evening to you, Andy.
Hi, how are you doing? Are you well?
I'm doing very well. Andy, I suppose, first of all, tell us a little bit about the company you work for, where they're based and what sort of market they're in. So maybe start off with that.
Yeah, the company I work for is Willis Towers Watson. We're one of the largest corporate insurance brokers and risk management companies in the world. We've 44,000 staff. In Ireland, we've almost 600 staff. And our global HQ actually is in Dublin. And we've focus on managing risk for our clients all over the world.
Okay, so what type of risk are we talking about here, Andy? Is it an insurance risk, or is it something different than that?
It's the risk basically of contracts being performed. So when I talk, what I get involved in is surety and bonding. It's not an insurance policy. It's not an investment product. It's basically a guarantee, a piece of paper that says that is produced by a surety provider that can be an insurance company, confusingly enough, that says that an entity is good to perform the contract between the two parties. So if I'm a developer, for example, and I'm funding a project, a building project in Dublin for 20 million euro, I want some assurance that the contractor I appoint is going to complete the project. And that he's not going to go insolvent between starting the contract and the contractual completion date. So that's pretty much what it is. So I look for a bond of, say, on that project where it's a 20 million contract, I'd be looking for a bond of about 10%, which is 2 million. And I will expect the contractor to produce that, negotiate with a surety or a bonding company on the strength of his financials. And that gives me the assurance that these guys are good to go and will deliver on time, because I want to protect my 20 million investment and I want to make sure that when the building is complete, I can sell all the units and realize the profit that I want to make.
Okay, so you would be providing the surety to the contractor, and then the contractor would be effectively saying to the developer, look, I have this in place. This makes it very clean, very clear that if I fail to perform here, this bond will kick in and matters can move on then without me. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And the employer, the guy, the beneficiary of the bond, who is the developer in the example I've given, he knows that the surety provider isn't going to give this guarantee without having done his due diligence on that company. So it all falls back on the contractor's strength, their financial strength. And what we do is we work with those contractors and we put them in a position to present themselves to the surety market in the best possible light. So if their working capital is weak, they need to improve that. They need to release bonds that they have previously committed to. They need to get better facilities with their bank and just perform to the highest possible standard.
And are there many people in this market? I mean, as Willis Towers Watson, is this a unique service that you provide, or are there other people in the market as well?
Well, we're one of the few of the larger corporate brokers that provides a specific service around this. We set up a centre of excellence at the beginning of last year when we saw the revival in the construction sector, and we've got a huge expertise globally. We would execute, as the term is, 60,000 bonds globally, from Brazil all the way over to Singapore. So, you know, we had an expertise that we could leverage off globally. And for my pleasure, I went to Miami to learn all about it for a few weeks last year. I always had a background in this, so I wasn't fully up to date on the new markets. So markets are quite exciting. There's all the big global players provide these, from Chubb Insurance, Travelers, Liberty would be names people would be familiar with.
Sure.
And then there's lesser known names in our local market, but still equally as good. Our competition would be the direct markets, the bonding companies, Bond Direct. And obviously, you know, that's okay. There's plenty of room for all of us. And then other brokers. But I won't talk about those here today.
Okay, no, we're here to talk about you and your business. And it's an interesting business. Like, it's a quite a unique business. What sort of hit rate do you have? I mean, do you provide this to 100% of people who look for it, or is it 50%? Or what sort of a hit rate would you get in this type of market?
But we pre-qualify,
right.
So basically, what we say to our clients, our prospects, are, look, answer these simple questions. It's a simple inquiry form. Explain your banking facilities to us, your working capital, how you're set up, how have you performed to date, and we'll pretty much say to them, look, we think you can get bonded. So they don't get by stage one. There's no point in us going to market if we feel that we can't deliver for them. So in answer to your question, we usually get 100% hit rate.
Okay.
Because we don't bother going to market if we feel there isn't a possibility of getting the bond. There are occasions when it is difficult and you have to work around that. And sometimes the collateral that's put up against the bond isn't just on the strength of the financials. They have to put up some kind of cash collateral as well.
Okay.
Because every bond is backed by collateral. It's not an insurance policy.
Okay. And you mentioned there to get it funded. Where are you going to get it funded?
Where are you going to get the bond?
To get funded, yes. Yeah.
Well, basically, we go to the bond market. They will say, okay, for that 2 million bond value that this, in the example I gave, we're going to charge a rate of, say, 3%, just for argument's sake. It's 3% on that bond. And basically, that'll be €60,000 for the full term of the contract. So it's not an annual premium. So say it's 2.5 years to build out the whole project. We will go to all of the surety companies and try and get a lower rate. So you might get 1% or 2% off somebody else. Smaller contractors are looking at rates of between 3% and 6%, depending on the strength of their financials. So it's rather like interest rates in
sure.
a way. The stronger your company is, the better rate you're going to get, because your value is much higher.
Okay. And are there any other industries or trades, I mean, apart from construction, where this is an appropriate product?
Yes, there are. They're in the alcohol and tobacco, in logistics and retail, where you've got large warehouses, you're obliged to provide revenue bonds. And we're very strong in that sector as well. So if you're you have a deferred duty, if you're importing and storing whiskey, for example, and gin, as we all know, are very prominent now, and there's dozens of new warehouses being built in Ireland. As you know, the whiskey industry has revived. We were the world's leaders many years ago. We're now getting back there. In order for you to import alcohol, you must provide a bond to the revenue to say that you will pay the duty that is due on those. So the goods are released in tranches out to your customers. So, you know, there's that type of bond. There's other bonds such as pension deficit bonds, which are quite interesting, which will bridge the gap or guarantee that a company will replenish a pension over a period of time. And this bond will say that they will do that over the 5-10 years of doing that.
Okay.
And we see that's quite prominent in the UK. We're trying to introduce that into Ireland now.
And that would be for sort of large corporates, would it?
or very large corporates. It wouldn't be of interest to most companies in Ireland. It's really large corporates that have large pension schemes.
Okay, and just coming back to the revenue bond. So that's where a company operates a warehouse under bond, effectively, and they're moving product from that to the duty paid area. And it's yeah. the amount of duty that's going to be paid to revenue. That's what you're actually bonding, is it?
Yeah. So if they go bust or they don't, they've sold those goods. Are they? The warehouse goes on fire, for example, that duty still has to be paid.
Sure.
So it's to ensure that whatever happens, that company between importing and delivering or selling those goods, that the duty will be paid to revenue, because they are due to be paid that revenue.
Okay, so there are three or four very interesting different markets, I suppose, where this type of surety bond and guarantee is required. What do you think? Do you think there's any potential future markets, or have you, without giving away, I suppose, any trade secrets to your competitors, are there any sort of future areas or potential new areas that this could? I'm thinking in the area, Andy, of technology or social media areas. Do you think there's an angle there, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, there's already interesting products around the renewables, wind farms, for example. Ireland has, again, punches above its weight. We have several companies, Irish-owned companies, that are performing, that are delivering incredible projects. And they're building wind farms around the world. And it's very similar. It's having the ability to confirm to their to the people who are investing that they will deliver the wind farm on time, all of that kind of thing. So it's around construction a lot of the time, but there are very innovative products coming down the street as well.
Yeah.
Social media, not so much. There isn't really any real opportunity there. Although all the big guys, the Adobes and the Facebooks and the Googles bond in different ways. They have to confirm that they're going to deliver on supplier contracts. I've got some bonds in place where a company is contracted to supply a product over time, and the company commits to them. If something happens to them during the year, it could take them 6 months to get a new supplier. So they want an amount of money there to compensate them for the expense of finding a new supplier. So that can apply to any industry.
Yeah. Okay, very interesting. I suppose as well, I mean, you, as you said there, the core product seems to be around construction. So I suppose with Ireland over the coming months, years, and I suppose decades, investing in infrastructure, I'm thinking of the Metrolink and other things, particularly here on the north side. I'm sure that the contractors involved with them will be knocking on your door looking for some of these products that you're describing.
Absolutely. Some of the biggest projects have bond values that are in hundreds of millions. There was one only last year in Dublin that was a 20 million euro bond, quite a big bond, expensive bond. But again, it lends trust between the employer, the investor, if you like, and the contractor. You will have noticed in the UK. In the last 6 months, Carillion and its demise.
Yes.
There was bonding in place on a lot of their contracts. And it allows for a lot of the contracts that they were committed to be completed. So the surety or the company that has provided a bond comes in and negotiates with a new contractor. And, what they want to do is minimize their loss. So they want to What they don't want to do is pay out the whole amount unless they have to.
Yeah.
So they've got great expertise in that area,
Yeah. Okay, Andy, it's a fascinating subject and a very interesting product, a very interesting business. Thanks a million for taking the time to talk to me this evening on Nearby Business.
Okay, Jack, and it was a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. That was Andy Petridge there. Andy is from Willis Towers Watson, and he's involved in the corporate insurance brokers area, and he heads up the surety
A slight apology there for the quality of that. Some of that was done on Skype, so it tends to break down. A little bit like one of those Sky News reports there from the Middle East, although it was in North County Dublin. So thank you to Andy Petterbridge, and Andy will feature again in the programme in the next few months. I got a chat with Brian Green now, and I'm again going to turn the microphone around towards him to tell me of the progress he's making with his own venture. He formally launched radio.ie on last week's programme. Good evening, Brian.
Good evening, Dave. How you doing?
Are you still able to make the sandwiches every day? How's it going for you?
I work from home. I don't have to venture out, which is a bad thing, because if I ventured out, I'd get a little bit of exercise and I'd see people and see the world. But it's going good. I sent my first invoice. Hooray!
Well, that's always a good sign. I often say, I spoke to a business development kind of a, what do they call it, mentor one time, and he was asking me about my business, and he said, I'm working with a company now and we're 6 months in and we've just done our first invoice. So I said, how does that work? He says, very slowly, but it's great if you can do it in your first week. And I remember getting an order on my own first day in business, and I gave them the order number 5 to pretend it wasn't the number 1, and he says, that's really number 1, isn't it, Dave? And it was, actually. So tell us about your first invoice. You don't have to tell us how much it was, Brian, but maybe you can give us general details on how it works.
I'll give you general details, is that it's advanced payment on work I will do.
Even better. Pro forma.
So it's for some social media work that I will be doing. And yeah, I think it's in the bank. I've got to check, but I think it's in the bank. It's all electronic. So the invoice is electronic. It's an email. And the money lands in the bank electronically. The days of check are on the way out, I believe.
Very good. And can you just give us a broad outline of what you've been doing?
So I already had my web domain, so it's radio.ie, which is a bit weird because I've also got the company name is radio.ie, so they're the same thing. So I say, who are you? I'm radio.ie. Oh, that's the domain name. But just, I wanted to say that as of the 18th of March, the people who regulate Irish domain names, the .ie's, the IEDR, have relaxed their rules. So now you don't have to prove any connection with the domain that you want. So in the past you had to, and now you don't have to have any claim on the name that you want. You just go ahead and get whatever name is available, and all you got to do is prove that you have a connection to Ireland and prove your identity. So like a passport, a driver's license, and that kind of thing, and you can get yourself whatever .ie domain name you want. It's a great sounding Irish top level domain, and you know, you can get .coms and you can get .orgs and everything, but a nice .ie like Near FM has.
Yeah, great. And radio.ie seems to be, it's unusual that was available. You obviously have it a while, have you?
I had it on loan for about a year, and then I purchased it from a guy who owned it. And that's another thing with Irish domains. You used to not be able to buy them, but it's now legal that you can actually put a price on a domain that you have in your domain arsenal. It's what the people who gather them have. And you can then sell them for a fee. And it's completely above board and completely legal. So, yeah, I've got it about 2 years and I own it just about a year now.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the business end of stuff here. You know, what have you been doing for the week? I'm your sales manager. Can you tell me about your call rate or your action online or whatever? What did you do? Can you populate the days for us, maybe? Not one by one. Give us a general idea how you went about promoting your business and contacting your customers this week.
Okay, so all my activities are not focused on the business just yet. But the big one was, and we were talking about this briefly last week, is that on May Day, that is Tuesday, the 1st of May, my first project got off the ground, and that is Shining Bright Radio. So we had a big day of launching that station. It's on 24/7. It's internet only online. It's all about mental health and feeling good, and we got that launched. We started with 16 programs. We started with 15 programs, and during the day we signed up a 16th programmer, and we have a 16th podcast in the schedule now.
Really good. And that's, I've seen you on Twitter with that, and that's you got a nice yellow background and black and red writing. Mental health support, empowering teachers, great music, inspiring broadcasters. Welcome.
It says.
Really nice there. You've got 190 followers, a little bit more than we have in Nearby Business. So that's part of what you're doing. So anything else then?
Let me just have a quick look here. I was working on something on my website so that I can take online payments. So I have a WordPress website and I've got WooCommerce installed. And I just want to say heads up and congrats to WooCommerce because they've got lovely products. And I made a mistake with purchasing the wrong product and they let me change from product A to product B without paying them any more money. That happened today. So now I can take payments securely and basically invoice over my website or sell products over my website.
Very good. So what's the week ahead? You have a bank holiday weekend and when you work for yourself, these things come along. You got to pay the five days.
I have lots of work and stuff on. I suppose that is the danger when you work for yourself, is knowing when to switch off and say, right, it's family time or it's me time. And I'm just terrible at that. And I'm going to have to get organized and get regimented because without that, I will just throw every hour of daylight and burn the candles at both ends. And that's not going to be good for me. And if it's not good for me, it can't be good for the business.
Okay, I'm just going to tell the listeners what we're doing. We're talking to Brian Green of Radio.ie. Brian provides services of podcasts for companies and media services. Brian, you could give you a chance to give you a little ad now again to tell people what you do.
Yeah, so having been interested in radio for decades, I was made unemployed a year ago and have started my own business, and it's a radio consultancy where I'm going to build radio programs and radio stations for people who haven't got radio programs or radio stations yet. So my belief and thinking on this is that radio is for everybody. It's not just for the 98FM and the FM 104 kind of guys. Everybody can get involved. Businesses, NGOs, state bodies, individuals, clubs, organizations, everybody can do it. And I think everyone's got a story to tell. So if you were like pigeon fanciers, the guys who fly pigeons, they're all over the country. They should have their own, if not a radio station, a podcast. And they should get together and create it. And I help people get together and find out the where and how to's of making radio programs or building it into a little radio station.
Very good. Brian, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be talking to you again in a couple of weeks' time and we wish you all the best. Enjoy the bank holiday. Maybe you could flip a burger instead of working on the radio all weekend.
I'll try and make that day, Monday, a day off.
Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Bye-bye.
Brian Green there, and we're going to check in with Brian, in fact, every week for the next 4 or 5 weeks and keep an eye on how he's doing with that fledgling business of radio.ie. I actually thought, David, that this service was long gone into the abyss, if you like.
Yeah.
But RTE are now talking about reducing the Airtel service, not scrapping it. What? Yeah. What in all that is holy is the relevance of Airtel in the day of smartphones and internet?
Yeah, it's still there. RTE has written to the Communications Minister saying it wishes to reduce its Airtel teletext service, which has been in operation for more than 30 years. Airtel service cost almost 700,000 to operate last year, and I think they're looking in their pockets and down behind the couch at the moment out in Montrose.
But they could save 700 grand, just get rid of it. Surely nobody looks at it.
Well, any changes RTE wants to make in public services are in response to changing audience needs and new technology and costs, right? Now, plans to dump the service some years ago and spend the money on better programming were called off because a number of rural TDs wrote to complain. So people like it still. It's obviously got people who watch it and tune into it. I remember people used to watch sport on it, watch matches and things like that. The source said 700,000 is a huge amount of money to spend on a service that basically scavenges news from other RTE departments. That money could be used in independent programming or news or sport on RTE.ie. The BBC actually, in comparison, shut down its teletext service. It was called CFAX, you remember it well, in 2012, and the senior RTE staff believe Airtel should go the same way. However, due due to legislative constraints, RTE must again Minister Nocton's consent before it makes significant changes to the service. So I do remember there was a couple of popular things on it, pages. The sports one was one. If you didn't have the Sky or whatever it was, you could watch the score before the phones again, and the one for the holidays, the breaks, you know, you could get a break in Waterford for 99 quid or whatever, and you looked it up on that. It was really very good for that. But definitely, it's been surpassed by anything, by all sorts of media, online, Google, everything else, and many things which are faster and whatever. Also, you remember years ago, they obviously need somebody to look at something, distill it down, and then put it into Airtel.
Put it on.
And they probably used to cut and paste scripts from the news and change them. And you'd often notice at the weekends that they didn't do it as quickly as they did during the weekend. Maybe between 1 and 2 it stopped. So maybe she's gone. But that's it.
Gone for lunch.
So RTE could probably redeploy that 700 grand. You'd probably get about 3 or 4 near FMs a year for that.
Yeah,
if you did
certainly would. Much more efficient use of taxpayers' money. Okay, coming up in the second half of the show, I'll be talking to David Bell very, very shortly. David from the HR department. And we're going to have a really interesting look at the 4 HR lessons that are contained within the Disney movie Jungle Book. So I'm looking forward to that. And then a little bit later in the programme, I'm going to be talking to Peter Kavanagh from Active Retirement Ireland, and we're going to chat about an event that's on Friday week that celebrates all that is good about ageing in Ireland. So all that to come before 7 p.m. And welcome back to Nearby Business. Don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the discussion or comment on any of the stories, you can contact the show by text while we're on air to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. Or you can get us anytime on Twitter at @nearby_business, #localbiz.
Your HR questions answered on Nearby Business.
David Bell is with me now, as he is at this time every week. David from the HR department, how are you?
Hi Declan, how are you?
Very good. David, this week we're going to have a look at something that I think is very intriguing and interesting. The fact that you are going to tell us all about the 4 HR lessons that are contained within the Disney movie Jungle Book. Tell me more.
Yeah, I suppose it shows my sad state of mind, perhaps, Declan, that one can't sit back and enjoy. Maybe I should concentrate more on trying to escape. But I suppose, it was slightly tongue-in-cheek when I looked at this with you. But I suppose it's just trying to look at something in a slightly different way and to show how, perhaps things that you wouldn't normally think of that would apply to an employer-employee relationship, or alternatively look at things slightly different and see how it can apply to an employer-employee relationship.
Yeah.
So that's sort of, as I say, it was slightly tongue-in-cheek, but there is some resonance there. So, I'll go through it if I could.
Yeah, I suppose, first of all, what are the 4 areas that you've uncovered, and then we'll maybe look at each one individually?
Yeah, well, I suppose the 4 are, there's inclusion, so employee inclusion, that would be around communication engagement. Then there's diversity. So, obviously the workplace nowadays is a very diverse place, and that is to be encouraged. I suppose bullying creeps into it, and maybe perhaps the effect it has on individuals and on organisations. And then, role models, particularly in terms of management and showing rather than doing, or doing rather than saying. In other words, showing people how to act and how to behave rather than telling them. So they're the sort of 4 headlines that we took out from it.
Okay, so let's start with inclusion. Where did you see that?
Well, I suppose, again, your listeners, there's been 2 variants of the movie. It's very well known. One more recently in the last couple of years, and one a number of years ago when you and I were younger. I suppose it would be in the start of it when he's integrated in the wolf pack, so to speak. So clearly someone who doesn't belong there and is not a cub, for want of a better word, that they accept him, that he's fully integrated, and as a result of that, holds great loyalty to the pack, so to speak. So it is, it's all about inclusion. It's all about engagement with the staff. That was where I was trying to take that out of it. That the more inclusion you have, the more likelihood you're going to get loyalty, and good workers and employers who want to stay there and want to work hard because you've included them and integrated them fully into the organization.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I mean, that's a really good example of how somebody just not like the others, I suppose, maybe the best way to put it, was included and made to feel very much at home. Then on the encouraging diversity side of things, where was the example of that for us?
Again, I suppose, if you remember, there's so many different characters, big and small, they all play a role. And again, it's that sort of quasi cycle of life, but that everyone has a part to play. And again, I suppose diversity in the workplace is key, and I think nowadays more than ever. And I think it has been shown, you know, studies have shown that if, for example, an employer or boss consistently selects a version or a mini version of themselves, that really doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you have to have different viewpoints, be it from an age or experience perspective, young and old, different skills. I mean, I think, again, it's quite common in the workplace nowadays to look and see what the type of personality it is. So that has to be reflected in any team. And then obviously the more obvious ones would be gender balance, all of those things. And again, you know, there's a lot of focus on women in the boardroom and women in senior positions, and I think that can only be a good thing, and again proven to be from a success perspective. There's been reports, there was a Grant Thornton report, I think it was Grant Thornton, which showed that women boards that have women on them consistently outperform those that don't. So things like that, and again, it's just to show that it is better to have a diversity and work as a collective rather than having one size fits all and everyone being the same.
Yeah, it brings that, as you say, that diverse range of views, background, experience, and all of that into play, no matter what what the task is or what the project is. And then moving on to workplace bullying, surely there was no bullying in the Jungle Book, was there?
Well, the villain of the piece, the Shere Khan, the tiger, of course, was the big bully. And interesting enough, when you look at it, not only was the focus of his anger on poor Mowgli, but also the way he manipulated the others to go with him by which again is that sort of maybe the less obvious. When we think of bullying, we think perhaps of a physical threat, but very often it's not at all. It's actually manipulation and undermining people and bringing people on board who otherwise wouldn't get involved in something, but they're I suppose used as pawns. So there's a touch of that, and I suppose there is the good moral of the story was that the bully in this instance obviously got their comeuppance and was shown by the use of the fire to be no more than a coward rather than having to be dispatched, but was a coward and once confronted. So, you know, maybe slightly stretching it, but I think as much about the fact that he gathered others around him and persuaded them to help him try and capture this child was as much showing signs of what sometimes bullies do in the workplace.
And as you said, he got caught and got his comeuppance, but that's not the case in the real world. People don't even complain in lots of cases.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is part of the problem. And it is a bit of a double-edged sword for people if they do raise their head and they do raise an issue, even if it's informally or formally. It often causes more difficulty for them. And that's where the big challenge for employers, particularly smaller, when I say smaller, I mean smaller in numbers, in larger organizations, they do have the capacity to even temporarily move someone for another, you know, around, even physically move someone away if there is an area or an issue that has arisen as yet unproven. But clearly in a smaller, if you're working in a 5 or 6 man operation or woman operation with a business, you don't have much room to move people around or move them away from each other. And it does create a lot of difficulty. So it is probably, you know, one of those areas that the majority of employers really struggle with. And as a result, the employees who are suffering rarely bring it to their attention because they realise it's going to cause a lot of hassle. And they either suffer in silence or it can cause quite significant damage to them, or they leave, and unnecessarily so.
Yeah.
And sometimes we find, you know, if you go in and look at a business and you're talking to people and you know, one of the things that it may seem obvious, but obviously turnover of staff is one of the questions we'd ask. And if you have a particular area that has a high turnover of staff, you know, you start looking to see why is that? And
what's the story?
It can be related to a manager or a person in charge or in that department
who behave certain ways that result in people just not sticking around.
Yeah, indeed. And all good businesses and all successful businesses, David, need leaders and role models. So where did you find the role model and the leader in the Jungle Book?
I suppose the three, and they're all different, but all, I suppose, the life lessons that were learned was Akilah was the name. I'm sure most people remember that was the name of the sort of leader of the wolf pack. So, again, going back to the original point about the loyalty and the inclusion, it's, you know, but again, there was a sort of a, you know, the pack worked together as a team, that they would, you know, he would, the unity, etc., that the wolf pack showed, that was sort of lesson number one. Then the panther, who was Bagheera, was very straight and narrow, and everything had to be done by the book, and there was, you know, the stick on the path. So that was more around the rules, responsibilities, doing the right thing. And then, of course, the bear, Baloo, was the exact opposite, who taught him to sort of say, well, look, you know, don't worry about it, don't sweat the small stuff, that type of message. Maybe enjoy life a bit more, don't be so serious. So I suppose a mixture of the three, all very relevant, but maybe not just one of them, but taking something from all three. And again, you know, I suppose, as I mentioned, the role model is, as we all know, people look to see what you do. If you're a leader, you're a manager, you're an owner, you can tell them all you wish that you how you want them to act, but of course, if you act differently, they'll tend to follow what you do. So I think that idea of a role model, and, you know, making hard decisions and making tough decisions, not always being right, all those things that you hear, being able to say you're wrong, you know, allowing people the spotlight when they're deserved and not taking credit for everything. So things like that, I suppose, from an employee's perspective, they will look to those managers who inspire them. And there probably is always one. I mean, they talk to anyone who's working or has, particularly in maybe an entrepreneurial sense, they'll always have a person they probably looked up to and met across along the way.
A mentor,
mentor, and inspire them. So I think managers and owners should strive to be like that.
Okay. David, this is David Daly here. How you doing? I spoke to you a few times before. It reminds me, I know you remember Top Cat on TV in the afternoons when I was young.
Yeah.
He was a kind of a Sergeant Bilko character who had a band of, he was a bit of a Del Boy really. So it's the characters came out and there was a lot of stories to be learned there as well about sort of the pecking order and carrying off scams in the neighbourhood against the police in New York and
absolutely,
all that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Officer Dibble, I think. Was
That's right. your knowledge is extensive of the animated world.
You can test me, we'll go through them all.
I want to be like you, eh?
Very good. Well, thanks a million, David. I think it's a case of art imitating life, as usually is the case. And thanks a million for that very different look, a very different way of looking at HR issues, looking at those four very important HR issues that are present in the Jungle Book. I think all you need to do is learn to relax a little bit more, David, I think.
Exactly, that's it,
Declan. Okay, thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. David Bell there from the HR department with, as I said, that very different look at HR issues.
The Business Of on Nearby Business on 90.3 Near FM.
With me now is Peter Kavanagh from Active Retirement Ireland, and we're going to have a chat about an event that celebrates all that is good about ageing in Ireland. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, Declan.
Peter, this show is on in the RDS, and it's on Friday week, and it's been on for a few years, but this is the first time it's made its way to Dublin and in a much larger larger arena, I suppose, so to speak.
Absolutely. This is actually it's the second time it's been in Dublin, but certainly this is the largest iteration of the Trade and Tourism Show ever. And we've been doing our Active Retirement Ireland Trade and Tourism Show for 6 years now, and it's always been one of the highlights of the calendar. It used to travel around the country. We've had it in places as varied as Wexford and Galway and Kerry, but it's just gotten to the stage now where it's so big there really is only one kind of venue that can hold it, and the RDS have been good enough to host it for us. So we have a wonderful show planned with over 100 exhibitors, and as you rightly mentioned, it just celebrates everything that's good about ageing and everything that's on offer for our older population. And it's one of the few days in the calendar that actually values the older customer, the older consumer, and looks at them as a net contributor to the Irish economy.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole area, I suppose, of what is sometimes referred to as the grey euro or the grey pound or whatever it might be, people who have, I suppose, you know, come to that stage in life, I'm not too far off it myself, to be honest with you, but you come to that stage in life where, you know, mortgages are probably paid off, children are reared, and they do have a few bob to spend on themselves at that stage and perhaps treat themselves where they may not have been able to do that over the years.
Yeah, well, all going well. If people have been lucky enough and have had a good job throughout their working lives and have put a few bob away for retirement, they do get this well-deserved opportunity to spend a few bob, to have a little bit of disposable income, to go on their own hobbies, their own pastimes, with the debts paid off, with the children reared and the likes. Now, this is a cohort of people that's while the ageing population is growing, the cohort of people who are comfortably well off is shrinking. People are kind of finding themselves put to the pin in their collar. There's a lot of older people helping their adult children get on in life. There's a lot of older people acting as unpaid child minders who lose a lot of free time. But all that said, there still is about 10 billion euros per annum to be spent in the so-called, you put the nail on the head there, you hit the nail on the head there with the grey pound or the grey euro, or one I've heard it referred to, which I really love, is the silver dollar. So it's worth 10 billion euros per year. You're looking at people who not only have a few bob to spend on occasion, but they're very, very careful with it, because despite this disposable income being there, they know that they're on a fixed income. They know that the pension isn't going to get any bigger. They're not going to get a pay rise. They're not going to get a new job. So they know what their income is going to be. So they're more careful about it. And more importantly than anything else, they have the time. Not only the time to spend on themselves, but also the time to spend making sure that they've got the best deal for themselves, for their active retirement group or for their family, and that they've got the time to shop around and make sure that they really are finding the value in the market, whatever the market might be.
Yeah, so they're as you say, looking for value. They have the time. What sort of products are going to be on show here, and what sort of products are people in that cohort, as you said, what are they interested in? What's the most popular areas?
Well, the most popular area by far is travel. The active retirement market keeps the Irish hotel industry afloat. There's no doubt about it. The last year for which we have statistics was 2014. And in 2014, active retirement groups, and that's just members of this one organisation, Active Retirement Ireland, we have 25,500 members, they accounted for over 200,000 bed nights in Irish hotels, which is a massive amount. And you're looking at a cohort of people who can travel midweek and off-peak, so they can really find the best bargains. They can really find the best deals out there. They travel in groups. They put together savings clubs. They plan well in advance. And they really, really look forward to the one of the two trips they may take a year. So travel is going to make up a huge part of our trade and tourism show. The tourism industry is one of the few industries absolutely aware of this grey pound, this grey euro, this silver dollar, and they do have active retirement deals in almost every hotel in the country. And, you know, active retirement members and older people in general are quite canny again about looking for these bargains, looking for which hotel is going to have the most extras, going to provide the best value, which one is going to not have a single supplement, so that widows and widowers and people who are single can travel alongside people who aren't. And all of these subtle little things that people look out for, you get well practiced at it. And as well as tourism, of course, there is the best of retail in the country, as well as the financial sector. So there'll be a little bit of something for everyone. We'll have advice from John Lowe, the money doctor, on how to get the most out of your pension. We'll have fashion, makeup, hair, because just because you've turned 55, 65, 75, it doesn't mean you're not the same person you were before. So, you know, fashion for older people is quite the market. And I think one of the things we tend to see is there's an awful lot of television on in the middle of the day that older people watch, and yet none of the fashion segments, none of the makeup segments, none of the personal life segments on these shows are aimed at older people, despite them being the largest audience. So it's nice to give something to this audience that says this is not an unrealistic fashion experience for you. We're going to talk about the clothes you actually want to wear, or the makeup you actually want to wear, or the hairstyle you want to have.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. It strikes me that there's so much happening at this particular show that one day is hardly enough, yet you've managed to squeeze it into one day.
Yeah, well, we do squeeze it into one day. I think if it went up to 2 or 3 days, we'd really, really be we'd be stretched. But we might be able to do justice to the amount that's out there. We like to keep it to a one-day experience, a one-day extravaganza. It keeps everything tight. It's a more enjoyable experience for everyone. It does mean that, you know, getting there early is recommended because the crowds can be big around peak times, around lunchtime and the likes. But it's a wonderful day out. I think it's something that we can offer the public because we keep it to a one-day event. We can make it free entry. We don't have to charge even a token price at the door, so it is free for everybody to attend, not just members but the general public as well. So all day on Friday the 11th of May we'll be taking up the Industries Hall in the RDS, and we'll be welcoming everybody. It's not just something that attracts older people themselves, but of course their friends, their relatives, people out looking for gifts and ideas as to what to get them. We get a lot of children of older adults coming along to see what am I going to get mum and dad for their 50th wedding anniversary or for Christmas or for birthdays and the like. So plenty there for everybody. But because we keep it tight and keep it to one day, it is a completely free show for everyone.
Excellent, yeah, because I could imagine the cost of putting it on would be significant. I see as well that you had, speaking of silver dollar and silver hair, I see you had the GAA legend Pat Spillane launching the event there a week or so back.
Absolutely, yeah. Pat has been working with us on this show for a couple of years now. He's been a great ambassador for us, and he'll be there to give the keynote address at the show as well on Friday week. He's a wonderful champion for rural Ireland in particular, and one of the reasons that Pat got involved in the show is that it showcases the best that Ireland has to offer. While we do have tourism operators from Spain and Portugal and the likes, and international cruises and the likes on offer, the vast majority of what's going to be at the show is Irish companies showcasing the best that Ireland has to offer. And that's where Pat Spillane really, really has his interest. Just talking about what a brilliant country this is, especially for older people. If you can go out and you can hunt out the bargains, if you can find the right places to go and the right things to do, it can be a wonderful country for retirees. And that's that's where the relationship between Pat and active retirement comes from. Because as a retired school teacher himself and a retired Gaelic footballer, he certainly knows. Now, there's a man who knows what to be doing with his free time, because he spends his time being a champion for rural Ireland. But he came up to Dublin just a few weeks back to launch the show, and we set up a little lemonade stand in Merrion Square, and we entertained the passers-by for a little while. Pat Spillane's an awful lot of fun, a very warm and a very popular man. So if you want to hear him speak about what Ireland has to offer, he'll be speaking at about midday on the 11th. The May in the RDS.
Brilliant, you're right. He's a great ambassador, all right. One other area that you haven't mentioned there, I just spotted, is lifelong learning. And as I say, I'm not too far off that cohort myself, and I recently did completed a degree myself. So it's something that maybe, you know, when people have the time to go back to learning, maybe take on a degree course or something like that, that maybe they didn't have the opportunity to do at school leaving time.
Absolutely. Retirement is a great opportunity to try new things, whatever they may be, and lifelong learning plays a key part in what active retirement associations do, and certainly it'll be featured at the Trade and Tourism Show, because it is one of the best opportunities you can take in retirement. And, you know, congratulations on your own recent educational achievements. And a lot of people do that. They go back and they get a diploma or a degree, something that they may not have had the opportunity to do when they were young, the so-called first time round and the likes. And for a lot of our people, a lot of our members, a lot of older people, college was prohibitive at the time because there was no free fees back then. You know, that's a very, very recent thing. It's only 1997 when free university education was introduced. So it was prohibitive to a lot of people who are now in their 50s, 60s, 70s. However, it's not just educational achievements, it's not just the academic side of education that's important. Lifelong learning could be something as simple as learning a new language, learning to paint, learning how to do photography, even finding a little bit out about finances, learning to manage aspects of your own life that you didn't do before, and things like mental health and wellness and well-being. And there'll be a huge focus on that as well at the show. We'll be talking about looking after yourself, not just physically but mentally as well, because self-management is a huge part of that. So anything you do to learn and improve and to grow as a person, it's a great, great opportunity in retirement to do that, and we'll have a strong focus on that in the show this year.
Okay, and I suppose just to wrap up, for businesses maybe listening to the programme this evening, are there any opportunities still to exhibit there, or are you full for this year?
We are close to brim full. All right, there will be over 100 exhibitors there. But if you just want to get in touch with us and find out, maybe there'll be a late cancellation. Maybe there will be an opportunity to squeeze you in one of the smaller stand areas, or even if you just wanted to find out about next year, you can reach out to us directly on 01 8733 836, or get in touch via our website, activeirl.ie.
Great. And for people who want to attend the event, do they need to register or just turn up on the day?
Just turn up on the day, but be aware that it's a very popular event and peak times will be busy, but it's completely free entrance from 11 in the morning till half 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon in the RDS. It'll be well signposted up there once you get to Ballsbridge, but it'll be in the main body of the RDS. That's not the Simmons Court side, but the Anglesey Road, Ballsbridge side of the RDS. We'll be in one of the industry's halls in there, and we will have a great day, and all are welcome, and it's completely, completely free.
Excellent. Peter Kavanagh, Head of Communications and Public Affairs at Active Retirement Ireland. Thanks a million for talking to me today on Nearby Business, and good luck with the show, and hopefully I'll pop along myself as well.
Looking forward to seeing you there. Thanks a million, Declan. Good evening.
Thank you. And that, as I said, was Peter Kavanagh, Head of Communications and Public Affairs, Active Retirement Ireland. And that trade and tourism show focused at the Silver Dollar, as he said, is taking place on Friday the 11th of May.
And on the programme this evening, we're just going to have a final look at things which we normally don't do. Pick of the week apps, Plane Finder 3D iOS. And this is an actual app that will cost you $5.49. The new version of the best Plane Finder app adds some great features, so you can view air traffic in vivid 3D. You can track planes around the world and even view the terrain that they are flying over. And the other one I've chosen is a free app. It's called Dashlane Passwords for Android. And it's a free app, as I said. And this app keeps all your passwords stored and encrypted on your mobile device, and it creates unique secure passwords for your various accounts with a built-in password generator tool. I could do that one myself.
I love that Plane Finder one. I have that one myself. I sit and watch it all day. That's it this week for Nearby Business. Thanks to all our contributors this evening. We'll both be back at the same time next week, but don't forget, in the meantime, if you've a comment on any of the stories we covered this evening or an idea you'd like to discuss with us for the programme, get in touch on Twitter at @nearby_business, #localbiz. So from me, Declan Ralph.
And me, Dave Daly.
It's bye for now. See you soon.
Thanks
on the radio.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.